Good evening.
Good evening.
It's great to be back with you tonight. Appreciate your presence here. Brethren, it's been a long week. It has been an emotional, draining week. But I appreciate the fact that you put God first and that you're here tonight. Tonight, as we continue our study, we're going to, the lesson itself is shorter than this morning's. But three things that we want to notice that I think will be beneficial to us. This morning, we began a study looking at the topic of heaven. And we asked the question, what will heaven be like? And we said that there were two points that we wanted to notice together. We noticed, first of all, six descriptions of heaven. We noticed that it is a reward and a rest. We talked about it being a reverence, a place of worship, and that it is reserved. We looked at the fact that it was a renewal and a reunion. And that brings us to our second point tonight. And that is noticing three depictions of heaven. All three of these depictions come from the book of Revelation. Revelation chapters 21 and 22. So if you want to be turning there so that you can follow along. Three depictions, three pictures of heaven. And with each one of these pictures, we're given a glimpse into some things that heaven will include. The first picture that we want to look at is heaven depicted as a bride. In Revelation 21, in verses 2 and 3, John writes, "Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." He depicts heaven here as a bride adorned for her husband. I've told you before, as I've talked about our wedding before, Micah and I got married on a beach in Destin, Florida. And as I stayed, was down there on the beach, she came over the top of the boardwalk, and the first time I saw her. And because we were getting married on a beach, I was in a full suit, sweating to death. She was in a beautiful wedding gown. And I still have that picture in my mind. And that's the way that John describes the beauty of heaven when he saw it. Part of the reason of such a description of heaven is because of the intimate level of fellowship that will be enjoyed with God. Notice what it said there in verse 3, that God will dwell with them and he will be their God. That kind of a level of intimacy will also include the exclusion of things. We talked this morning from verse 4 of Revelation 21 that there will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. The Bible talks about that sin will not enter there. Mr. Steve mentioned to me this morning, I hadn't even thought to include this, but there will be no temptation in heaven. There will be no temptation to sin, to do wrong. All of those things will be done away with. I don't know about you, but for me it's hard to picture that. Hard to imagine those things not there, because we live in a world where we're surrounded by those things so often. We're surrounded by death. We're surrounded by sorrow, by crying. We're surrounded with pain and temptation and sin. But yet in that place, there will be none of those things, because of the presence of God and because of the presence of Christ. It's one of the beautiful pictures found in Scripture. In verses 6 and 7, he goes on, and he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." A beautiful description of heaven, described as a bride, picturing for us the level of intimate fellowship that we will have with our Father. Number two, heaven is also described as a garden. Heaven is described as a garden. As you go to Revelation chapter 22 and verses 1 through 5, John writes, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation, and there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. As you come to chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, which is the closing chapter of the Bible, we see a full circle that has come now. Because when you go back to the book of Genesis, remember in the Garden of Eden, there was the tree of life, right? Of course, Adam and Eve sinned. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God had told them not to. And as a result, they were separated from that tree of life. And now you come all the way to the end of God's Word, to Revelation 22. And what do we see a reunification with? The tree of life. There it is. That tree that they were separated from is now here in heaven. The garden depiction here deals with the provisions that heaven gives. God will provide for us. There will be no cares, no concerns, no worries. Everything that we need will be supplied. No light bills to pay, y'all. No rising cost of gas to worry about. And no problems that, as homeowners, that you have to deal with. None of those things. All of those things are done away with because God's going to give us everything that we need. Notice there's not even a need for a lamp. No need for the light of the sun. Why? Because God is that light. Contented and happy throughout all eternity. That's the picture that's painted here when we see heaven as a garden. That brings us to the last picture of heaven that we want to notice. And that is heaven depicted as a city. Heaven depicted as a city. We bounce back to Revelation 21 now and pick up in verse 10. And we've got a lengthy reading here. And so I hope you'll follow along with me. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. And he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And she also had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates. And names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city is laid out in a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure like gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. And in the next several verses, so that I don't embarrass myself, I'm not going to try to read all those stones. But it lays out each gate and in each precious stone that it was made of. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. As you read this beautiful depiction, It's not just a depiction, though, of beauty. It's a depiction of security, of protection. No fear of crime, no natural calamities, illness, or death. You might not catch it first time through, but when it talks about the gates are never shut during the day, that means there's nothing that threatens the city. In ancient times, when a threat would approach a city, that was the first thing they did, was they shut the gates of the city. They would sound the alarm, and everyone in the surrounding area was to rush into the city so that they could close the gates. But notice what John says. The gates are never shut because there's nothing that can threaten it. If we had to describe heaven in one word, I guess it would be this: perfect. Friends, that's what the faithful child of God has to look for. That perfect home with God and with Christ. As we close out, there's one final thing that I wanted us to notice. And that is the fact that heaven is a place for the ready. If you want to go to heaven, if you want to have heaven as your home, then friend, you have to be ready. When I think about that, I think of Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. We have there the parable of the 10 virgins, the wise and the foolish virgins, sometimes we call it. You recall that there were 5 wise virgins and 5 foolish virgins, and they were waiting on the bridegroom. The 5 wise had brought their lamps and extra oil with them for their lamps. The 5 foolish had only brought their lamps and the oil that was in them. And while they waited, the bridegroom tarried, the Bible says. But at midnight, the call went out that the bridegroom was coming. And they arose and they trimmed their lamps, and the foolish realized they didn't have enough oil left. And so they turned to the wise and they said, "Give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." And they said, "Can't do that. Otherwise, there won't be enough for both of us." They said, "Well, go and buy some from those who sell." And while they were gone, the bridegroom came. Verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man is coming." The ones who entered were the ones who were ready. No one in heaven will arrive there by accident, friends. They will be there because they were prepared and ready. So I ask, are you prepared and ready tonight? If you're not a Christian, you can prepare by becoming one. By believing in Jesus, by turning from sin, by putting Christ on in baptism. If you have done that, but you've turned away, friend, come back home. Prepared and ready. That's what we need to be to have heaven as our home. If you're not, we'd ask you to come right now as together we stand and sing.